What is going on, Thought Force Nation? Hope you're doing well. This is Eddie Saucedo, and welcome into part two of my talk with Jack Anderson, former Pro Bowl player. We talk about a lot of the lessons that we've learned throughout our careers, and hope you take some great info out of this podcast episode. If you have not already, please check out part one before you listen to part two so that you can kind of follow along a little bit easier. But be on lookout for part three. Part three is coming out soon if you are listening to this once it's recently posted. But hope you enjoy the podcast episode. And if you have not done so already, make sure to check at Thought Force out on Instagram and Twitter. Thanks, guys.
You are listening to the hottest podcast in the game. This is the Thought Force Podcast. Get ready. It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone?
Here's your host, Eddie Saucedo. Play ball.
Yeah, and the crazy part about baseball is you're never really independent until you get to your post-college career. You know, if you think about, like, when I look back at my career, and you're going through it now, and I'm sure you have a little bit more insight than most people your age just based off of the work that you're doing. But when you're in high school, you know, everything is kind of run by your high school coach or the place where you train. And then when you get to college, everything is run 100% by your college program. You don't really have much freedom in college, which is, you know, you shouldn't, to be honest, because if all college baseball players had a completely free schedule, it'd be an absolute mess. But when you graduate from college and you go play pro ball, that's the first time that you're on your own. You know, when you show up to the park, when you end your season and go into the off season, everything's really hands off. And I think that's a detriment to a player because it wasn't instilled in he or she at an earlier age. You know, I think we expect all these players to, you know, dive into the process and learn about the process and what's going to work for you, what doesn't work for you. But then when you take a step back, everything is just given to you and you're told to do it, you know? So I challenge, and I wish I did more of this as a player as well, but I challenge everyone who's still playing college baseball, college softball, you know, college sports for that matter, to have your own process, right? You have what your coaches are telling you to do. You're following the lifting manual. You're following the nutrition plan. You're 100% bought in to every single component of what your program is requiring of you. But at the same time, you have your own process, you know? So in your case, if you're totally bought into the mental game, never stop working on the mental game, even if your college program doesn't require it. Right. Because a lot of people will view their process is just what's put in front of them. And it's hard to think out of the box that way. And then when you're away from that much instruction and you get to pro ball, that's why guys fizzle out so quickly, because you know, they were so used to having everything kind of being cookie cutter and given to them. And then they go on their own and they are like, all right, well, where's my, you know, what's my new goal? Where's my new lifting program? What am I doing now? And then, you know, that's how careers kind of, you know, go downhill, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%. I think, like you said, kind of taking charge is a big thing. And the great thing about the world we live in today is information. There's no shortage of information. Like, the information is out there. Whatever it is you want to get better at, like, there is no excuse to not get better at that, because there are online resources, online classes, books all over the place. And I mean, there really is no excuse to not take charge of something that maybe your college program doesn't have, because it's up to you. And like you said, once you leave college, you're totally independent and you have to take charge. And Like I said, that's the great thing about today's world is that you have to take control, but there's enough resources. You're not out there alone without any help. Like, there are plenty of people out there, whether it's social media or online resources, that will give you the information or at least a starting point to get somewhere. So, I agree with you 100%. To be able to take charge at the college level and be able to go above and beyond just what your program tells you or your college coach is something that'll separate a lot of players playing at the college level for sure.
Do you follow Dr. Josh Heenan?
I do. I believe I follow him on either Instagram or Twitter. I believe it's Instagram. But yes, I do.
He has the 90 mile an hour formula.
Yep.
And his theory is awesome because the way that he lays out his program is if you can hit these metrics with a clean delivery, you should be able to throw 90 miles an hour, or your body can handle you throwing 90 miles an hour. And what's so cool about it is there's no room for second guessing in his formula. It's just a good example of it. It says, if you can check these boxes, then you can do this. So now it's not up to somebody to put it in front of you and say, here's what you have to follow to get this done. It's saying, work towards these numbers, and we have enough case studies to prove to you that you're going to be in a great position to increase your mound velocity and your overall health. And now it's just up to you to do the work.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, and that's a big thing. I think whether it's a 90 mile an hour formula or it's something else, I think those process steps are things that everybody can really set for themselves. And that way, instead of saying, I want to be a Division I college baseball player, or I want to play professional baseball, you tell yourself, if I do these 3 to 5 things today, or maybe look bigger picture, but I like to separate it into specific days. I mean, it's good to have kind of short-term, long-term goals, but if you tell yourself, if I do these things today, I'm putting myself in the best position I can to get there. And if I don't get there, I knew I did what I had to put myself in a position. The worst thing is when you don't do those things, or you maybe don't define them, and then you tell yourself, well, I maybe could have gotten there if I would have done these things or these extra things. But if you write them down and you define them, you know exactly what you need to do, if you did them or not, and you know without a doubt in your mind that you did everything you could to get there. And that's really, at the end of the day, where everybody wants to get to it. It's not necessarily making it to the big leagues or making it to a Division I college. It's knowing that you did everything you could to get to the highest level. I mean, some bodies are not physically talented enough or capable enough of making it to the highest of the highest level of playing in the big leagues for 10 to 15 years. Not everybody is physically capable of doing that. And being okay with that is a big part of the mental game. But knowing that if you execute your process, you're giving yourself the best chance to get to where you want to get to. And that way, you're not results focused, because some people may work their tail off, work as hard as they can, give themselves the best chance to play in the big leagues for 10 years. But because they don't get there, they're disappointed with their career. But at the end of the day, it's all about when you look back on your career, you want to know that you did everything you could to get to where you wanted to get to. And I think that's huge, is being able to sit back, looking back on your career and knowing you did everything, because that's regret would be the worst feeling to have when your career is over, knowing, man, if I could have done this or if I could have done that. So I think for all the ball players out there, is define your process, define things you can control that'll put you in the best spot to where you want to get to results wise, and execute them. And that kind of rolls into the next thing I wanted to talk about with you, which is taking notes. I mean, I do it personally, both off and on the field. I literally do it during the game. Was that something you were big into? Have you gotten into it after your playing career, during your playing career? Was that something you ever did, or what's your kind of take on taking notes?
It's a great tool, and I think everyone should do it in some form. And it's even been, you know, it's been proven now that even outside of sports, just taking notes about your life, you know, journaling daily, writing down the good things, writing down the bad things. It's just an outlet for people. So when I was playing, this kind of goes back to, you know, college programs running the show. I never would have thought about doing it if it wasn't put in front of me. And our version of note taking was kind of like a mental recap of your outing. And we had to answer various questions. You know, I'm sure you heard of like the green light, yellow light, red light terminology. So we had quite a bit of that. But we also had other questions about like, where were you situationally? Like, where did you feel tense, stressed out with in-game situations? And this was all just like a post-outing worksheet that you would pretty much do every time. So that was the extent of what I did in terms of journaling. And, you know, there were some times where it became a little bit monotonous. And I think if I could go back and change it, it would be more of just a blank page, you know, rather than trying to answer the same questions after each outing. But there was value to it. You know, there was, you can't really lie on there. You know, if you go out and you get shelled and you only last three innings, it's hard for you to come in and say, oh, I felt great today. You know, I was confident the entire time. I was never second guessing anything the catcher called. You know, it forces you to be very truthful. And then what's cool about that is on the flip side, if you have a great outing, then you're proud of the work you did. And when you document that, you keep all these in a little folder. And when things aren't clicking or you have a similar feeling, it's all written down. Right. And, I really did enjoy it. You know, and now I'm a total dork. Like, now my goal after college, I just want to be a sick golfer. Like, I just love golf. So like I write, on my notes app on my phone, like after I go practice at the driving range, I'll write down little feel things that felt good. And, you know, if I was hitting the ball well, but I would never do that if I didn't play baseball. And if I didn't have that, you know, mental side kind of instilled at me and you at UIC.
Right. I was talking to Justin Sua. He's the mental performance coach for the Tampa Bay Rays a few months ago. And he said, the weakest pen is stronger than the strongest mind. And that was something that really stuck with me. And, you know, whatever it is, whether, like you said, it's a feel or your process, write things down, because you will want to come back to that at some point, whether you're doing well or you're struggling. I mean, I talk about this a lot in my social media, is when you're doing well, you know, it seems like you're putting the world on fire, like nothing's going to stop you. But I mean, baseball can humble you real quick. And in the blink of an eye, you lose it. You know, 80 miles an hour seems like 90. 90 seems like 100. And then other times, 90 seems like 80 and 100 seems like 90. You know, it slows down and speeds up on you so quick. And sometimes you don't even realize it. But when you're doing well, I mean, why would you have to take notes? You're doing well. You have to keep going and just keep doing your thing. But that's when you need to take notes the most, is when you're doing well. You know, what you were thinking, what you were feeling. Because when you're struggling and you're trying to go back, and if you didn't take notes, you're kind of trying to dig into your memory. Man, what was I thinking? It's just lost. Like, you're frustrated. You're trying to produce on the field and you just can't. You know, life seems like it's just impossible to either hit or locate, whatever position you play. You lose it in the blink of an eye in this game. And if you have something to go back to when you're really doing well and you go, oh yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, whatever it is, 20% effort, or just make sure you take a deep breath before each pitch, or think before you step in the box. You know, you don't need to be perfect. Whatever it is that you were thinking when you were doing well, it could be a combination of things. Go back to it when you're struggling, and you will thank yourself in the future when you write those things down. And I always tell myself, do your future self a favor and don't be selfish. Write things down, because your future self will want those notes in the future when you're either struggling or when whatever it is, you'll want those notes again. And there's nothing to lose. I mean, what are you going to lose if you take notes? But no, that was one thing that really stuck with me after talking to Justin, was that the weakest pen is stronger than the strongest mind. Because no mind can remember everything, you know, crystal clear like a notebook can, where you just write it down and let it go. And that's another thing, is that it kind of takes that, all that mess inside your head out. Like for me, when I'm in a game, for example, if I'm facing a pitcher, right-handed, that has a little bit of tail at the end, me as a left-handed hitter, I might move my feet just a slightly bit more in towards the plate so I can have a little bit more depth through the zone, and my bat can stay a little bit more on that tail than coming off it if I was just natural. So I'll write down, number 17 on this team has this kind of tail, and then I'll write my process down, which is I'm going to turn my feet a tiny bit in to give myself a chance to stay on that ball even though it tails. And that way, if you come to face him again, whether he's in your conference in college, whatever it is, if you face him in a summer league, and it's a bigger situation, let's say he comes in relief in the ninth and tying runs on second base, you don't have to waste a couple pitches to remember that, because you face so many guys that you wouldn't remember that. But if you go back to your notebook and go, okay, he's on this team, what number is he? Number 17. All right, I'll look. Number 17. Boom. Turn my feet in a little bit. It's going to be a little bit of right tail. And you're going, yep. You know exactly what you're looking for. And boom, if you get a hit, you know it was because you put yourself in a good spot because of that. But I see far too many guys repeatedly face pitchers over and over and over. And then the first at bat is always kind of rough, and then they face him again, and now you got him timed up. But why would you keep wasting those first at bats if all you have to do is bring a pen and notebook to the game and write it down? Now you only wasted one at bat, the first at bat you ever faced him, then repeating that cycle over and over.
Thank you for listening to the Thought Force Podcast.